This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KLCK FM 98.9 Digital HD3 Seattle.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Now wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the Internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got Internet access. The best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And I got to tell you, it's well, at least it's a dry morning here in the great Pacific Northwest. A lot of high clouds, though. City of Seattle is making an appearance, but no mountains or anything. And I understand this may be the driest day we're going to have for some time.
July.
Until July. That, of course, would be our expert that knows all about the weather. That would be Animal World's production engineer, Gary Hill, is here. You've got to connect you somewhere. You've tuned in, and there's just no more sunshine until July.
It's going to rain hard every single day until July.
Well, now, that's just a real optimistic outlook there, isn't it? I think maybe we should adjust that expectation somewhat. I mean, I had great plans to cut my grass today.
Wow.
But if it doesn't dry out more than, I mean, because, well, I've had almost 3 inches of rain like the last
wow.
3 days. I had three horrendous hailstorms yesterday afternoon. Unbelievable. But it's going to take some drying to not be so soggy. I'm afraid my lawnmower might sink.
It's stuck in mud.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll carry on. And in the other room, the lights are on. Somebody is home, and that would be Animal World's call screener, Scotty Robertson's here. Good morning, Scotty.
Good morning, Martha.
And then to fill out the group today, we have a full house, and the round table is, in fact, a round table. Well, it's actually more kidney-shaped, to be honest, but for reality radio shapes, it's a round table. And I'm delighted to say that, aside from the fact that, oh my gosh, can you believe it's the first Sunday of April already, it is Vet Sunday, and back in the saddle again. It's been a little while. Dr. Bill Burlingame is here. Good morning, Dr. Bill.
Good morning.
I should have said the voice is back.
Still working.
Yep. Wasn't it the last time he was here, Gary, that Eric Crema and company took a clip from the show just to play his voice on Alternative Talk radio show?
Yeah.
They did.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah. And they imagined how you might give up veterinary medicine and have a career in voiceovers on radio and so forth. So
I should look into that.
Anyway, Dr. Bill is here. And we will get to Vet Sunday in a little bit, and we will have open phone lines for your animal medical care questions. And in line with Vet Sunday, we have actually something in the Animal World Prize closet this week. Scotty's got the keys. He will open it. If you convince him you are a deserving recipient, we will be giving away a couple copies of Ann Martin's book and the latest edition of Food Pets Die For, which is great education for any of you that have animal friends and want to be sure you're feeding good stuff to them. And, of course, that would be a subject that I think Dr. Bill... Oh, we're I didn't think he sounded right.
We testing, just... testing.
Oh, that's much better. Okay, there's the voice. Yeah, I thought his voice didn't come across real well, but thank goodness the production team is at work here and you figured that out.
Team,
huh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So, all right. And so Dr. Bill Burlingame is here, the voice, and now he has a microphone. It works.
Yeah. Very Although good. His voice is so great, it was actually hard to tell if it was coming through
well,
or not.
Well, that's right. Yeah, such just
I
a
think
deep
it voice. Is, but...
Yeah.
Does blushing show over the radio?
Gosh. It sounds a whole lot better now, doesn't it? More impressive? All right. Well, let's see. So where was I? Oh. Well, it is Vet Sunday today. We'll have open phone lines. We're giving away a couple of copies of Ann Martin's book, Food Pets Die For. I'll let you know when we're ready to do that. I have a bunch of follow-up, some animals in the news. Current events will happen about 10:50 as usual. And 11 o'clock, we'll do a tip, but a short tip. And it's guess what's coming up this month, you guys? Hippity-hoppity. Easter's on its way. So I'll be on my soapbox telling you to... not to get bunnies, chicks, and ducklings, and so forth. So, Easter tip at 11. And let's see, we've got some follow-up to start with. Yesterday was our big day up at Jones & Company Pets in Marysville. So, Scotty and I were up there talking to people and answering questions. And, of course, Jones & Company Pets, Dr. Bill, is just up the street, across the street, and up a ways from you at Quilceta Vet Clinic.
That
right?
It is.
So we were up in your neighborhood. So, of course, we got to meet several of your clients.
They know where to shop.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a great time. We walked in the door, Scotty. I didn't even have time to sit down.
No.
Put stuff down. And I was nonstop talking to people and answering behavior and training questions from, like, let's see, 11 o'clock, bang, the line formed, and it was 12:45.
No commercial break.
Before I could take a breath.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was a good day.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing we want to thank Jones & Company for is Scotty had, you know, a very small 5-gallon fish aquarium, mm-hmm. and since you're, you know, Winona passed away, who really kind of the fish were her department.
Mm-hmm.
We determined that the what kind of fish was Mr. A Placostomus?
Placostomus.
Placostomus.
Yeah.
And that he had outgrown the space.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I talked to Michelle, daughter of Jones & Company, you know, Ray, and who is now the manager and runs the show up there. At any rate, talked to Michelle and said, you know, we have the Scotty's got this fish. And she said, well, I'll bring it on up. We'll rehome it.
Mm-hmm.
So how about that? You can rehome fish, people. And wasn't it cool? So we took the fish, Mr. in a bucket, mm-hmm. and drove him up there. And then they put him in a quarantine. Tank to start with, but already that was like a 50-gallon tank or something.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
He was like a happy camper. He moved up in the world from a 5-gallon tank to a 50-gallon tank, and then today I think they were going to move him out to a display tank.
Mm-hmm.
So a 55-gallon tank with other fish and cool stuff.
Yeah.
So he will have a much nicer life.
How big was he? Is he?
Oh.
What would you say about 8-10 inches maybe?
About 8 inches.
About 8 inches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was a bigger one there, but then we saw the little baby ones. They sure are cute when they're little teeny.
That's how big he was.
Yeah, he was about, an inch and a half when you got him, and now it's 8 inches.
Yeah.
But there was another one that was maybe 16 inches, maybe twice that big.
He was huge.
And apparently those fish, they don't grow to the size of their space.
They just keep growing. Well, like that one gentleman that said, yeah, he saw one at 28 inches long.
Yeah, they get huge.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay, well, so much for that. Anyway, so we had a great time up at Jones & Company. Thanks for having us. And discovered, Michelle dropped off for me at the table. I had always, you know, with Annie Golden, we were always out playing ball and sometimes after dark. And I was always trying those little light-up jobs, little things, gizmos you put on their collar, so that she'd have light on her, and they worked, but I found that the jingling or the movement in the collar of her chasing the ball would rotate or would disturb or I guess shake up the blinker thing, and eventually it would come undone and those little batteries would fall out. And I remember that happened on the ocean. I was out on the beach and it fell apart. So I didn't ever find it. Now there's something that works, and it's called a spotlit, S-P-O-T-L-I-T, and it's got a good clasp to hook on the collar, and it's about a quarter size disc. Look at this. You push the button once, and it's bright green. See, everybody? No, see, you'd notice that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And
it's then bright green.
If you push it again, whoops.
It comes out.
It comes out of the package. Well, let's see.
There you go.
Okay.
Hold it.
There. Hey. Push it again, it flashes.
Strobing.
Oh.
See? So, and there's no way that this can jostle apart and fall apart, and it's got a sturdy metal clasp that will work on the collar. I mean, you could use it for other reasons, but this, I think, is really a viable. So if you want a really good flasher or bright green light for your dog's collar, they got them at Jones & Company. So that was my discovery.
What's it called again?
Spotlit. Well, spotlight would have an E at the end. S-P-O-T-L-I-T. Wouldn't that be spotlit? How would you pronounce that?
Yeah.
Spotlit?
Spotlight.
Spotlit.
Well, spotlight, though, it'd have to have an E at the end.
You would think.
Right.
Well, I don't know. S-P-O-T-L-I-T, and it's a round cardboard disc with the little green job in the middle. But it's white when it's not turned on. Never mind. Okay, so we're good there. Okay, let's see. What do we got? We got some updates and follow-ups here. And, oh, this is going to be interesting because it is Vet Sunday, so we'll be talking, you know, animal healing questions. And so I have some follow-up from our Healing Sunday we did a couple weeks ago with Greg the Wand Man, and we were testing out the wands. And I've got two. We worked on three animals that day on the air. One of them I haven't heard from, so I have no report. Diana, you remember, Diana called about her older dog, Amber, big dog, almost 100 pounds, and a mixed breed, as I recall, and with severe arthritis in the spine and difficulty getting around. So the dog got a wanding on the air, and here's her report at this point. She says, this came to me after the show last Sunday. The wanding has made a definite improvement. Amber met me at the door last Sunday immediately after the wanding, in much better spirits than she's been lately, wagging her tail and her whole body and smiling. She said, I've not had to help her get up onto the bed, couch, or anything since the wanding. This is significant improvement. She is less immobile and more active since the wanding, getting up and about more with less limping. So that was her 7-day report. And she said, I would say it was an incontroversial success in every sense of the word. Okay, now the other case we've been following was Timber, the dog that had all the cancer. And I can tell you, I'm not sure what's going on here. Now, Greg the One Man teamed up with another gal and did the daily healing that had been requested for like 10 days, and so I've been following the case closely. The reports I get from Greg, which I just got another one yesterday, sound like the healing sessions themselves went really well, and the communication they got from the dog and all of that indicated things were going really well. But then when I got an email from Steve, the owner of Timber, it's almost like we're talking about two different cases, because he describes what's going on with Timber, that she continues. It says she has good days and bad days, and as far as her status goes, she's mostly having trouble eating, and she's hacking and coughing a little more. And anyway, I think we'll hear from Steve today, because I want to pick Dr. Bill's brain about anything else that could go on with this dog.
What's wanding?
Well,
fill me in.
Wanding is...
Do we have one?
Yep.
Uh-oh. Can I get wanded today?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you can. I'll pass this down. You kind of missed all of this because we haven't talked about what's going on with you lately, but you've been out on medical leave for a while, and you were kind of out of the loop. And this is an energy tool. And I'm not an expert on how to explain these things, but it takes a long time to make them. They have crystal stuff inside them. They project 0-point energy, which is just straight chi or life force energy. And then the body then takes that energy and heals itself. So it's, anyway, an interesting experience. And the reason that I have one and the reason we did this on the show is that over the last month and a half, I got into some trouble with my animals. And I think you know of it, but you were out on medical leave. And the first episode was, you know, my dear Annie Golden. And you know, the weather got really bad. My roof's leaking. It's half torn off. Got dumpsters, 10 inches of snow twice. She starts to crash. I can't get her out. I can't get anybody in. The only thing we could do was energetic healing work, you know, myself and then my friends remotely. Well, darn, we started doing this wanding stuff. I didn't have one then. It was done remotely. And it pulled her right out of the crash and kept her stable for, you know, a week and a half until, you know, the snow went away and the roof got repaired. And then, you know, I could get her out and we could take care of the situation. Same thing with Scooty. When he crashed, it pulled him out several times. So I was so impressed with what I wanted to know more, and that's what kind of led to all of this. Mm-hmm. And so Greg came in, the guy that I learned about them from, and he did some remote wandings on the air. So the impressive thing was that Amber Dog, you know, just with a remote wanding on the air, I mean, there was a lot of improvement in her condition, as you just heard me describe. So, but I can't tell you a whole lot more than that. We're still experimenting.
Okay.
So, let's see. Now, next thing on the follow-up department, we have been talking on a regular basis to Betsy at Mollywood Avian Sanctuary up in Bellingham about the birds and stuff as usual. But what happened, it's been probably, how long has it been since the James family were burned out? It's been, well, we started last month, so it's been a little over a month, maybe 4 to 6 weeks, since the James family, this is two parents, two teenage boys, and two toddlers. They're home burned, Dr. Bill, and they lost everything. Well, Betsy and her husband, I mean, even, you know, with 350-plus birds to take care of the sanctuary, the James family piled in with them, and they've been taking care of them, too. So we have been announcing on the air what's going on with the James and trying to get them stuff to start their life over. Got me to clean out my kitchen. I provided all the pots and pans and a bunch of other stuff. And the nice thing about Mollywood, they've got volunteers. They come to your home and pick it up. And let's see, was it week before last, one of our listeners called, and they had to take a truck and trailer to her house, and they got all kinds of cool stuff. And then Scotty's cleaning out his house, and he's collecting stuff. And I think they're going to come on Monday, I think, to Scotty's house and pick up a bunch of stuff. Here's the latest on the James report. We're going to do this every hour so we can cover all of you guys. And let's see. Betsy says she's been in touch with Scotty, and they're working that out. She says they still need, here are the items that the James family need. Remember, you don't have to take them to Bellingham. They will come to you if you're, you know, in the you know, Western Washington here, all the way down to Sumner and north up to Bellingham. Let's see. They need a refrigerator, a microwave, common appliances like a toaster, blender, serving utensils, silverware, dishes, bowls, the mixing kind, storage things like Rubbermaid or Tupperware types, pot holders or mitts. Those are the biggest things I'm aware of. All the little things that make a house a home will come in time. I know they mentioned some mirrors would be nice. It's so hard to get them to admit what they need. Ah, here we go. Thanks to the spectacular listener, Cheryl, they came home last weekend with a mountain of other room-type stuff. Huge thanks to Cheryl for her donations. Let's see. Thursday night, we found someone in Bellingham who was having to move back in with her family and was getting rid of stuff. When I contacted her about the James family situation, she put them at the top of her list. I let them know that she and Shane would need the truck and the trailer again. This is the James family. The James's exact words to me in a text on Thursday night were, "Nice. I'll eventually have everything I need. I was told if I just let go of what was in that house and not cry over it, I'd be rewarded 10 times over. And look what's happening. I'm so incredibly grateful for everything from all these strangers opening up their hearts to us." So that makes you feel good. It's all worth it. So they really appreciate our efforts, folks. So here's the list again. If you know anybody, then what you can do is call Betsy at Mollywood. And I want to make sure. The Mollywood phone number, all you got to do is call Betsy, and then they'll arrange for the pickup. 360-966-7490. That's 360-966-7490. That's the Mollywood phone number. And they need refrigerator, microwave, common appliances like toaster, blender, serving utensils, silverware, dishes, bowls, the mixing kind, storage things like Rubbermaid or Tupperware types, pot holders, and mitts. So there you go. And mirrors, too. All right, so that's our list for the moment. All right. Okay, in the follow-up department, press release from the Humane Society. They have appointed a new CEO. The Seattle Humane Society Board of Directors announced the appointment of David Lowe as Chief Executive Officer. He's an animal lover with a soft spot for older cats and has led the Humane Society for 8 months in the interim role and has served as Chief Operating Officer since August of 2008. So congratulations, Humane Society, as somebody at the helm. All right. Now, I've been keeping an eye on the Japan situation. I'm sure, Dr. Bill, you've been watching that, too, and looking at what's happening with the animals. I'll still tell you there's great lists of animal organizations on the Best Friends website, and our news channels websites, local, you know, Como, King, Cairo, have links to places to donate. I've been watching this other group, and I'm going to tell you, because it sounds like what they're doing is great. You'll have to decide for yourself whether you want to donate to this. But the group is the World Society for the Protection of Animals. I've got here their description. They are a 501c3. They've been working internationally for 25 years, and they have a lot of associations. Now, listen to this, what they're doing. A WSPA disaster assessment response team entered Japan 4 days after the earthquake and tsunami. In collaboration with the Animal Disaster Response Team of Japan and the Japan Animal Welfare Society and the Japanese government, they've developed a plan that will support animals in the disaster zone for the next 3 months. And they need to raise $150,000. As part of the disaster plan, WSPA will establish 30 temporary animal shelters near humane evacuation centers so that families can continue to visit and keep care of their pets. We will use funding to supply essentials such as food, water, cages, bedding, litter, and veterinary supplies. That sounds like a pretty decent thing and something really needed. So if you want to check this out, if you want to donate, of course, all the information's on the website. And I think you can just do WSPA.org and you'll get there. Again, the association is the World Society for the Prevention for the Protection of Animals, WSPA. And it sounds like they could use some help, and that would be a good thing. All right. Well, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I'm putting in the save pile for 2 weeks from today when we talk to the animals about how they feel about it. But a big article in the paper this week that Tilikum, the orca whale that killed the trainer in Orlando, you know, a while ago, and I think was that was the third human death he was responsible for. Well, they're putting him back in the show. So Wednesday, I think he was doing the first performance, and he's not appeared in any shows since February 24th of 2010. That's when the accident was. And SeaWorld said that that including Tilikum in shows is important for the animal's health and husbandry. And that's probably true, but I think it's even more important for the health of these orcas. We need to get them out of captivity. And so I'm putting this in the save pile and for Robin and I to talk to Tilikum and find out, are they happy being where they are? We'll see. All right. What else have we got here? Oh, now did any of you hear about this? This is, and I'm wondering about this, it's a press release from the Union of Concerned Scientists. And it says, the Union of Concerned Scientists and the town of Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, have announced that Groundhog Day will be pushed forward 8 days to January 25th in 2012 in recognition of the impact climate change has had in the region. That sound a little strange? The case is based on analysis by UCS scientists who found that since 1997, spring has come an average of 8 days earlier to western Pennsylvania. Quote, we hope that the change in date will bring needed attention to the consequences of climate change in Pennsylvania and the importance of investing in a clean energy economy. That's from one of the scientists. And it's unofficial, you know, it's official email, you know, on with their stuff. But I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, you know, what do you, I don't know. And then I looked at the date. You know the date this announcement was made and the email was sent? 4/1/11.
April Fools.
Well, I'm wondering. Now, I didn't get a follow-up April Fools, but I'm just wondering if this is legit. So I don't know. So maybe it was an April Fools. If anybody, if you didn't see the, if you don't live out in the flooding areas of our state here, check out the Seattle Times Northwest Sunday. A really pretty picture to see if this is the Carnation area, the Tolt River, and there nobody getting across High 203 except the ducks. So they're pretty cool, yeah. And we thought it was over, but now there's a flood watch again. So stay high and dry. Ooh, this is creepy. Indonesia airport authorities say have detained two men who attempted to carry 40 pythons on board a flight to Dubai. Did you hear about that? Yeah. They x-rayed their bags and they were full of snakes. They wanted to sell them to collectors in the United Arab Emirates.
They were all sedated, right?
Yeah, they were sedated. Yeah, suitcases of sedated pythons. Oh, man. Okay. Did anybody hear this? Scotty, I think you heard this. The English tabby cat they're going for the Guinness Book of World Records because they say he has the biggest purr of any
this
cat on the planet.
Awesome.
Did you hear that?
Nope.
But Scotty, you heard it, didn't
you? It's incredible.
They said they've recorded the house cat's purr that is lawnmower-like, they said. It hits 73 decibels. Isn't that a lot?
That's just purring.
73, that's 16 times louder than the average feline.
Can that be heard online somewhere?
Probably. I don't know. But there's the cat looks kind of like a silver tabby sort of guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just like a regular cat.
Yeah, yeah. But
regular size cat.
73 decibels. Oh, and here's another one. This was in, I think, yesterday's Times. Oklahoma woman wants disabled kangaroo as pet.
Oh.
Did anybody see that?
Yeah.
It's a kind of a partially paralyzed kangaroo that's become her They say her therapist has certified it as her therapy animal. But the city or the county that she lives in is trying to decide whether they'll give her permission to keep this kangaroo. I don't know how I feel about that. And I'm putting this in the pile of let's talk to the kangaroo and find out what it wants. That's it in the general news department. All we're left with is, and I think even though the sun is starting to poke out, we better do this just to make sure it comes out and dries out my grass. It's time for the best good news about animals. Okay, sun, come out and dry my grass. I love this photograph. It's from Wednesday's Northwest section of Seattle Times, giving the eagle eye. It's a picture of a bald eagle on top of the sign at Ray's Boathouse, the big R, and a crow attacking it. See that photograph? Isn't that great? See the eagle eyeball? Yeah, so pull that photograph up if you didn't see it. Then there was a fabulous article on the front page. Let's see, Monday, Seattle time. Othello's sand cranes trumpet spring to Seoul, and a beautiful photograph of the sand cranes, and then a huge article about these sand cranes. So a lot of good stuff. If you want to learn about the Othello's sand cranes, go take a look at them while they hang out. Oh, and did you hear the news that the cobra at the Bronx Zoo that escaped? They found him. And just 200 feet away, curled up in a dark corner where they thought so. It really was an imposter that was tweeting all over New York. It wasn't the cobra that was cruising. And let's see. Oh, out of India. India said Monday that it's making progress in saving endangered tigers, with a new nationwide survey estimating a 20% increase in their numbers in the wild over the past 5 years. The tiger's population was 1,706 compared with 1,411 in 2006. So that's
great.
That's quite a bit. And India is home to about half of the world's wild tigers. Their numbers had declined sharply for decades, largely because of poaching and pressures of development encroaching on their habitat. Gee, what a surprise, huh? Okay. Oh, here, I got a kind of a warm your heart story out of Japan, and even with a little photograph here. And I got this from, where did I get this? Off of Yahoo News. A baby dolphin was rescued after being dumped in a rice field by the tsunami. So a baby dolphin was carried all the way inland to rice fields. Was spotted in the flooded fields about a mile from the coast. And a pet shop owner who was rescuing animals was the one that spotted the baby dolphin. And they weren't able to catch it at first, but it got tired and weak enough that they were able to catch it and cradle it, and they've transported it back to the sea, and it seemed to be doing pretty well when they released it. But you see the little baby dolphin?
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Yeah. Yeah, small. And little teeny dolphin. So hopefully they will survive. Okay, and then this I found really interesting off of Cincinnati.com. Zoo goes solar in big green test. Visitors to the Cincinnati Zoo are marveling at the site, nearly 4 acres of solar panels over a vast span of concrete parking lot. Billed as one of the largest public urban solar displays in the country, the $11 million solar canopy will do more than help control the zoo's $700,000 a year electric bill. It's going to be turned on next month. Developers see the project as a model for clean energy use in public spaces. Already a dozen zoos from as far away as California and Oregon have called to learn more. And locally, the advocates say the project's sheer size and visibility may inspire increased interest in solar. Yay! So, good for the Cincinnati Zoo. And I saw some photographs online, and like the solar panels are above the cement parking lot, so the cars park underneath them, but then all above that is just all solar panels. So it was really kind of cool. All right, that wraps up our news. So, Gary, let's take care of our advertisers and sponsors. And, of course, the most important part of the show. After that, we will start Vet Sunday. Oh, I got to tell you, I forgot to tell you. So, there was some really interesting TV over the weekend. Last night, 10 o'clock, Secrets of the Sound on Cairo, Channel 7. I don't think it was a new show. I think it must have been a repeat. But if you haven't seen it, oh my gosh, it was spectacular. This really neat guy going scuba diving in Puget Sound and all the cool stuff that's down there, you know, the octopus and the sea anemones and the starfish and the fish and the seals and it was unbelievable. I mean, I always knew that stuff was down there, but I'm not a scuba diver, so never having seen it myself, it's hard to kind of relate to that. But keep your eye on the TV schedule. If you ever get a chance to see The Secrets in the Sound on Cairo, it was phenomenal. And then, I don't know, did any of you guys watch Shark Tank? Were you watching Friday? Did you see our James Mitchell, the Pure Air guy on there?
Yes.
Bless his heart. He's such a sweet man. And he came to me at Animal World at Como way back when they first created the Pure Air. And it's a fabulous product.
It's a good product.
But did y'all wonder what the heck he was thinking?
I don't know. I don't know what to believe about that show. It's fun to watch, though.
Oh, it is. Yeah. And he ended up walking away from a deal.
I think he made a good decision.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, well, he's on my list, I think, now, because with all that exposure, and it is a fabulous product, people are going to need to know where to get it. So he's got to start advertising again. So we're on James on Monday.
Yeah, he's going up against Big Brother, though, so that's the problem. Chemical industry.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because, you know, who wants a food-grade odor neutralizer that works out there competing against all the horrible chemicals?
That's right.
Well, I do.
Yeah.
All righty. So, all right. I think that covers all the bases. Advertisers and sponsors, and then we start Vet Sunday. Stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, did you know that even if you feed the highest quality all-natural foods, even if you home-cook for your animal friends, the ingredients in that food is exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff? Well, that's why Designing Health created The Missing Link. Now, they start with human-grade, all-whole natural raw food sources. They figured out a way to protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. It comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil pouch. Keep it in the refrigerator once you've opened it, and mix up your animal friend's food, add in The Missing Link, a little cool water to mix it in, and voila! You've added what's missing, like the balanced omega-3, 6, and 9 oils, the enzymes in the raw ingredients, and the fiber. Missing Link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems in dogs, eliminates hairball problems in cats, and there is a dog formula and a cat formula, a vegetarian formula. You can feed to both your dogs and cats, to other house critters like rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, and the like. There is a bird formula and a horse formula, and Missing Link Plus with glucosamine for connective tissue and joint support, and a dog and horse formula. So ask for The Missing Link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies, or go directly to Designing Health. You can call them at 1-800-774-7387 or visit them online at www.designinghealth.com.
Call karma specialist and metaphysical mother Robin Alexis for your free on-air readings Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Psychic medium Robin Alexis helps countless people to live fuller and more conscious lives on Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis. Call Wednesdays for your free on-air readings and hear rebroadcasts of Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis Thursdays at 8 p.m. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets.
Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage, celebrating their 10th anniversary. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including massage for canines, small and large animal certification, and equine ligament therapy.
For more information, go to NWSAM.com or call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 425-222-3703. That's 425-222-3703.
Join their Facebook page for exciting announcements and great anniversary deals.
Does your dog experience bad breath or gas? Does your cat spit up hairballs? Try Optigest. Optigest is a natural formula of digestive enzymes and the prebiotic FOS. Even pets with a healthy diet can experience digestive upset due to diet change, separation, or the normal aging process. Optigest works fast and has no inactive ingredients. Optigest supports intestinal balance and a healthy immune system to promote more comfortable, active, and vibrant dogs and cats. Ask for Optigest at your natural pet store today.
Passato's Safe Haven rescues and rehabilitates dogs, cats, and farm animals that may not have another chance. Roxy is a shy tabby with a short, crooked tail and a big heart. Once she warms up to you, she loves to cuddle. Roxy is looking for an understanding owner who will help her feel like a beloved member of their family. Please consider adopting one of Passato's Safe Haven's rescued animals or making a donation. For more information, visit PassadoSafeHaven.org. That's PassadoSafeHaven.org. Or call 360-793-9393. That's 360-793-9393.
Karma specialist and founder of Metaphysical Mothering, Robin Alexis, is nurturing, powerful, and phenomenally gifted. Her books and personal one-on-one phone sessions can change your life forever. And now she's channeled the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal. Learn about this membership and how to get exclusive contact with her at her website, robinalexis.com. Robin invites you to register for her weekly newsletter and share your comments and experiences in her blog and forum with her and other community members at robinalexis.com. Robin uses her ability as a medical intuitive and a metaphysical healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. She is a medium and she can talk to your spirit guides and angels, and she's adept at doing all this over the phone and through the website at robinalexis.com. You can call her for a private session at 360-457-2993, and you can email her at robin@robinalexis.com.
Negativity and fear, two staples of talk radio. Well, we figured we'd try something different. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're on the downside of the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World, but we're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Unless, of course, it's today, because we're not here until noon. We've got, we have some kind of sporting events happening.
Softball.
So that would be women's Husky softball. 11:45 is when we're over today. So when we open the phone lines, which should be at the end of this hour, remember you got to call in ahead of time because we're going to be out 15 minutes early. So it is the first Sunday of May, or excuse me, April. It's not, oh my goodness, what am I doing? Jumping us ahead early. First Sunday of April already, yikes. And that Sunday, I'm delighted to say that Dr. Bill Burlingame's back. Dr. Bill, you practice up at Quilceta Veterinary Clinic in Marysville.
Yeah, they let me go there every once in a while.
Well, yeah.
Let me hang out and have a good time with a great staff, and then I get booted out for a few days.
Well, yeah, and I have to say, I think you're the best, and I'm not just saying that, folks. He is my own personal veterinarian. All my animal friends, veterinarian, and for him, boy, I would not have had all the wonderful years that I've had with my animals, and I want to thank you for all you've done for me and my animal friends.
Well, thank you for the compliment.
And I've missed you because I didn't have permission to spread all over the airways what's been going on with you. So I've just, because we'd hoped to have you on Vet Sunday last month, but Dr. Mike was here instead, and that's because you've been doing some own healing work of your own.
Well,
so what's
just
been going on with you?
I just had to sort of get, you know, some body parts replaced.
Yeah, so that would be in the hip department.
That's
exactly
right. My second total hip. So
and
now
you're
I'm good
looking
for,
great.
I'm feeling a lot better. It's I guess you don't realize what chronic pain does.
Really? Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Well, because I would imagine when it gets serious enough to do a hip replacement,
right,
it had to be pretty bad.
Yeah, I think you probably don't realize you don't sleep properly, and you know,
yeah,
you're sore everywhere because you're walking funny and everything's off. So
now you said you this is your second one.
That's
how
right.
long ago did you have your first one?
About six or seven years ago, I think.
Okay, and did that make a big difference?
Oh, yeah.
That's obviously a must have, huh?
Yep. Yep. Okay. I was a motivated patient right then.
Okay.
It's like, take me and fix me. And so, yeah, it was good. This was a great experience.
And I think you took some extra time this time, didn't you, to get yourself in good shape before you did?
I was pretty active for the, you know, a month or two ahead of time. I had a lot of list of things to do. And, and so, yeah, it was a good thing. I had a great surgeon, Sean Toomey, at Swedish.
Oh, okay. Your dad's
He's a good guy. Great. You know, they did a great job.
So what, I didn't know what to expect at this point after that kind of surgery. I didn't know if you'd crawl out of your car and be on a walker or a cane or something. But I would not have known, seeing you, you know, walking up to the station. So I would not have known you'd had any surgery. So, you're just doing great. So
yeah, I'm 8 weeks post-op.
8 weeks post-op?
Yeah.
Okay. And how long after the surgery did it take you to feel good again and
Probably just a couple weeks. You know, things were starting to move a lot better.
Well,
you get a lot of swelling, and but the pain management protocol that they used was really good. And we had some great,
drugs.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah.
Now, when you go in for like a total hip, do you go into the hospital the day before?
I went in that morning,
they have you come in the morning of.
Well, I got shifted to the first procedure, second procedure of the day, so it worked out just right. I got up at normal time, and my daughter drove me down, and we had
and
a
you
great
went,
time.
And they do the surgery the same day. Then how long
did
you have to stay?
3 days.
3 days is all, huh?
And they did a really nice job at Swedish Orthopedic Institute. I hope I'm going to get a kickback on my bill after saying that. But anyways, they really had a great staff.
I can't imagine what it would cost.
That's just
like
all
this.
They do there is joint replacement. And, they got it figured out.
Well, is it true? I've heard that they want to get you up and mobile as fast as possible.
That
so
afternoon.
The anesthesia wears off and they kick you out of bed? I mean, is
you're up
that afternoon?
Later that evening, you're up.
You're up. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, they got enough pain drugs on board.
Okay, so you don't care.
Well, I usually try to pass out every time.
Yeah,
when I get up the first time.
So about 3 days, and
then
you go home.
Yep.
Now, are you then, at that point, when one goes home after a total hip like that, can you be self-sufficient, or do you really need someone there to help you do stuff?
I need somebody there probably the first week.
Probably the first week.
Yeah,
okay.
My daughter was there a couple weeks. Kind of helped me out a lot.
Stay with you.
But you could get by. It's just a little inconvenient, some of the things.
All right.
But you can move around pretty well.
So you're pleased. You've done both now, and you would recommend this to someone that's facing
the choice.
Well,
if they got
a
lot of pain, sure.
But and you found it's made a big difference to you now.
Pain's gone.
Wow.
Yeah. Now I can focus on the other bad joints.
Now let some of the other ones start talking
exactly,
now, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm so pleased that you're doing so well and glad that you're back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since you've been gone, I've been curious because a subject that has come up that is now on my radar screen because I have a relatively new addition to my family, and that of course would be the little Miss Sophie Sweet Cheeks, my little kitten that's becoming a cat. Although she's quite small, Dr. Bill, and I don't know if she's ever going to reach cat size. I mean, cause she's really tiny, but she of course is your patient, and even though we did limited vaccines and small amounts, she did come to you for her vaccines, and of course you and I we talked about spaying her. And that brought up the subject that, boy, you know, thinking about the timing of spaying and neutering our little dog and cat friends is really changing these days. Because like 20, 30 years ago when I was involved in veterinary medicine, the standard recommendation was always, well, spay female cats and dogs at 5.5 months before they come into heat, and then neuter male cats and dogs at 9 months. And that was just kind of the standard. And then as the years progressed and here recently, with all the overpopulation problems with animals, they've started the spaying and neutering earlier and earlier and earlier. And now they're doing some spays and neuters, aren't they, like when animals are just weeks old?
6 weeks or so.
6 weeks or so. And that's been going on at a lot of the shelters and so forth before animals are placed. With legitimate concerns and I think reasoning behind that with the overpopulation and all these unwanted animals. But some information has come into light, Dr. Bill, that are you kind of rethinking this when to do it and all of that?
Well, I've been rethinking it for several years.
Yeah.
After being exposed to Al Plechner's concepts and ideas and being, attending some human lectures on the way the hormonal system or the endocrine system interacts with the immune functions.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like that's a heck of an insult too early on. The body barely gets a chance to get its systems working, and then we interfere.
Mm.
So, I've been kind of changing my thoughts a lot recently. Did I send you that article?
Yes,
last week?
Yes,
yeah.
You did.
And that's just another example of people are going and looking at these the early spay neuter concepts. They're looking at it this saying, wait a minute, are we doing the right thing? And we are when it comes to, what I consider to be shelter medicine, and we're trying to limit the overpopulation or excess population of mm-hmm. unwanted dogs and cats. But I practice with a different clientele, and most veterinarians practice with a different clientele, as most of our clients are pretty reliable pet owners,
mm-hmm.
responsible pet owners, and I think that they should have the opportunity to decide at what point they want to have their pet sterilized, and it is more inconvenient for later sterilizations. It costs more to have it done. There's, some inconvenience you're going to go through, and so there's a lot of things to consider, a lot.
Now, when I was a vet tech and working in veterinary hospitals, and people would call in, find, when should they spay or neuter, and a lot of the spaying didn't ever seem to be an issue because not too many people want to go through with females in season.
That's an example. They don't like going through that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But the males, on the other hand, there wasn't as big a motivation to neuter, especially male dogs. Now, male cats, yeah, because they're going to start mm-hmm. spraying, eventually. And so there's motivation there. But male dogs, it was kind of a hard sell sometimes to get people to neuter their dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And so the sales pitch was, and I as a behavior therapist can say that neutering a male dog affects three behaviors, and that's the desire to roam and wander, dog-to-dog aggression, and urine marking in the house. So sometimes there can be behavior issues that motivate neutering, but when you don't have those, people weren't a lot of motivated. And the vets I worked for said, well, if male dogs are neutered prior to 2 years of age, it eliminates the possibility of them developing any of the hormonally induced cancers.
And that's 90% true. It's not 100% true.
Okay, that's what I'm wondering. I don't think that's all 100% true anymore.
Mostly
so you're
true,
confirming
but
that.
Just recently at the office, we had a wonderful dog that had a malignant prostate tumor that, was neutered at a year old or less.
Wow.
So there's always exceptions.
Okay.
There's exceptions to everything.
All right.
So,
well, so here's
but you're
my
right,
here's
in general.
My situation now. So I got a little Miss Sophie Sweet Cheeks because the last time you and I discussed this, I was in your office with her and she was getting her last vaccine, and you said, "Wait as long as you can to spay her." Well, I figured that was going to last until about 2 seconds after she came into heat.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to admit, I have not lived with a lot of female cats in heat.
Right.
Because when I was young, growing up in Laurelhurst, the family, we didn't keep indoor-only cats. You know, they were indoor-outdoors. We didn't spay our female cats because we always let them have litters before we spayed them.
Well, makes them smarter,
but,
right?
And they were, really? Well, I don't know. But, you know, they were indoor-outdoor models, and we liked having the kittens. And,
sure.
And most all of the females had at least one litter. But then we had one, Sandy Gray, one of my calico cat. She was a great mom. So we let her have a number of litters, but it just wasn't a big deal back then because there wasn't an overpopulation problem. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have to worry about cats in heat because they'd go outside and, yeah, it was not a problem. Well, now, especially if they're indoor only, I had one because I had a Himalayan years ago cat that I was considering maybe showing and breeding. And that lasted until she came into heat. And I'll tell you, I mean, female cats in heat can be a real pain in the rear because they yowl and yowl, and they drive most people nuts. And everyone I've ever talked to, now, Scotty, because you've got four cats, and you've got Bosco, male, and Gigi, the older one, is female. But you had a cat that had kittens because your two younger ones are 3 years old now, Whiner and Blackie.
Mm-hmm.
But when they apparently went into heat before you got them spayed.
Yeah, right.
And didn't you say that was kind of a nightmare?
Oh, yeah.
So what was it like to have two cats in heat?
Well, just double the trouble.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, they were just whining and squirming all over the place. I don't think they ever shut up.
Oh, okay.
They were, you know.
That's what I experienced with my Himalayan. And then the vet's saying, well, take their temperature because it's sort of like being bred, and maybe that'll bring them out. Because cats don't seem to have a definitive heat cycle like dogs do. They kind of just come in and out and in and out until they get bred, isn't that sort of?
Well, they're what they call seasonally polyesters. So it's in the beginning of the year. When the daylight hours start to increase, then that affects the pineal gland and starts the sex hormones rolling, brings them into heat, and so their kittens are born in the spring, and then they get enough time, you know, to get mature before they have to go through a winter. That's a very simple explanation.
Yeah, okay.
So, but they will go in and out of heat for an extended period of time, and...
Now, and I know that we used to recommend that females be spayed at 5.5 months because the theory was that they can come into heat anytime after 6 months.
Sure.
But most females don't come in till 7 or 8 months or so, and so it kind of just depends. Well, so anyway, I got Miss Sophie. She's not spayed yet. She's very small, and she was born the 1st of July. So, let's see, July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March. I'm using my fingers.
I'm surprised she hasn't come into heat already.
Well, that's why I'm heading that direction.
Mm-hmm.
So she's 9 months old, just on Friday. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was thinking she hadn't come into heat yet. But now I'm rethinking all of this, and because she had a gentleman collar.
Mm-hmm.
Like a week or so ago. I mean, there's this big old gray and white cat right up to my, glass doors. And... anyway, I believe she's been going in and out of heat now for a few months. And I think what I interpreted as the crazy little kitten that talks to me and gets and all of that is really her in heat.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, she doesn't do the yowly stuff. Which is really strange to say, knock on wood. So anyway, I think she's been going in and out of heat. Now, nobody's in danger because she's indoors only and nobody can get into the cat run and nobody can get out of the cat run. So she's safe. She's not going to be bred. So assuming if this is true and she is going, she's in and out of heat and it's not a problem for me, she's 9 months, how long would you wait?
Well, I got more of a finite opinion for dogs, but we'll talk about cats a little bit. Because I don't think we see as many developmental issues in cats.
Okay.
Other than, if we could look at urinary tract crystals in some younger animals as a developmental issue. Let's talk about developmental issues in dogs. We talk about growth problems as far as the large breeds. And, structural problems of their bones and joints,
mm-hmm.
predisposition possibly later in life to bone tumors and things like that, and mm-hmm. dogs that are, there's some evidence coming up that there's a correlation there from early spay neuters. as far as the length of the bones and what's going on at the growth plates. I don't think we see that in cats. Hardly ever see that in cats. So my biggest concern in cats is what effect do we have on their immune system?
Yeah.
And we can't see that outwardly.
And we just really don't know.
So if I had to give you an answer, I'd want to go a year to a year and a half.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's what
so
I would try
point,
to do.
So at this point, you'd advise me to just hang on in there.
Absolutely.
At this point, unless...
what would be fun to do to go back about 35 or 40 years and see if we could do what they used to do way back is to take a glass rod, or actually back then they used to just take an old glass mercury thermometer, sterilized, and they used to introduce it into their vaginal canal.
Oh, when a cat's in heat.
When a cat's in heat. And stimulate, they're in what they call an induced ovulator, which means they don't ovulate until they have intercourse, until they're bred.
Right, and it's the act of breeding that stimulates the egg popping out.
And takes them, we'll take them out of heat for a month or so.
I see, right. So they sort of sterilize.